reflects the life and legacy of the late Mr. Vernon C. Floyd.
Thank you for tuning in to our...
There's a substitute for salt. There's a substitute for sugar. There's a substitute for butter. There's also a substitute for love called infatuation. But there is absolutely no substitute for the urban pioneer, WRVAM, WJMGFM, and WGDQFM. The love for these stations by the sponsors you hear and listeners as well is mutual, and we love it.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heartbeat of the Hub, WJMG 92.1 on your FM dial. It is now time for Stage, Style, and Steady, featuring Michael Marks.
Good morning, Pine Belt. Happy lunch hour to you, and welcome to another edition of Stage, Style, and Steady, celebrating 52 years of circuit broadcasting and in association with Mississippi's first African-American-owned radio station. Stage, Style, and Steady airs live on Fridays at noon on WJMG 92.1, and we're live-streamed at cbsllc.live. You'll find us on Facebook at WJMG 92.1 FM, Southeast Mississippi. We are delighted to welcome to our studio today the Emmy Award-winning master storyteller and past president of the National Black Journalist Association, one Kathy Times. Kathy, how are you today?
I'm great, Michael. It's always a pleasure to connect with you. I just love your style, by the way.
Oh, listen at you. Back at you. Listen, we met back in 2008 when you were actually launching your campaign for the presidency of the National Black Journalists. Tell me a little bit about that campaign and sort of what you've been doing since.
Oh, it was because of amazing people like you and the love that I got from Mississippi and my television station at the time, which was Fox 40, the Fox affiliate. And it really was an incredible time because the country was in a recession, a great recession, and black journalists and journalists of all color were losing their jobs. There were a lot of layoffs. So the reward for me of being president of a national advocacy organization, trade association, was assisting our members with understanding the value of their brand and how to pivot in their careers. And I had to take that advice myself when I decided after my term was over, because Michael, that was a full-time job in and of itself. And I was the evening news anchor as well. And so at the end of my term, it was a two-year term, very rewarding. 2011, I transitioned out of the business because, frankly, I was burnt out. After 20-plus years of being a journalist and moving in 12 different places, I just said, I really need to do something else. And public relations is a natural transition for many journalists because you use your transferable skills as a writer and communicator. In Jackson, Mississippi, it was wonderful. I had great clients, such as the Airport Authority, such as Jackson State University. I really had an amazing time, and that was 2016. So for 5 years, I operated my public relations business, and then I decided again to pivot and switch gears and head home to Florida to work for my alma mater as their chief communications officer at Florida A&M University in Tallahassee. Michael, that was a great experience. I did that for 3 years.
Go Rattlers.
would not imagine. Yeah, I could not imagine working for anyone else. But when the president, who was interim at the time, called to offer me the job, he said, by the way, I need you here in a week. I said, well,
no pressure.
I had a client in Florida. I had some personal changes in my life, and I was eager to be back home with my mom, who was about to turn 80 at the time. So I accepted that job and loved it for 3.5 years. And then I told the president, it's time for me to go back to work for myself again. Mm-hmm. And I pivoted again and reinvented myself, because now I focus on helping organizations and individuals find the wow in their brand story. So I conduct, I really work with organizations to restructure and look at their leadership and the structure of their human resources and their other resources, And then I also work with professionals and leaders with their professional development and understanding the value that they bring to their organization, the value of their brand story. So I've been really busy.
You've been busy.
Since 2008.
You've been busy. And listen, I can certainly identify with you on burnout. I taught in public schools for 30 years and enjoyed every single day. Wouldn't have changed anything, wouldn't have done anything differently. But sometimes you have to step back to explore other facets of your talents. And so after 30 years of teaching, I decided to go into public relations and marketing, which I consider was my gift and my training. So like you, we're discovering a whole nother self. Now listen, you're president of Yellow Brick Media and you reference WOW. And so talk to me a little bit about the three D's that you've developed for people to discover their WOW.
Well, people would often ask me, how did I reinvent myself and how do I pivot successfully? It's one thing to pivot and just go to an occupation. Like so many people, the great resignation, we're talking about millions of people resigning in 1 month alone, more than 4 million in November and December. So it's one thing to pivot just to leave a job, but people say they're leaving because they feel underappreciated. They want more pay. There's no opportunity for them to grow. So what I looked at is how do I use my experiences as a leader, as a senior executive in communications, as a longtime journalist to help people. I had an epiphany one day sitting at the anchor desk, and there was a young high school athlete struggling to express himself. And I said, how do I help that young man? Well, 2014, with the help of Jackson State, I created WOW Professional Development for students. Prior to that, I was conducting seminars with the support of local Black journalist chapters to assist professionals with understanding the value of their brand story. So when I left FAMU in 2020, just before the pandemic shutdowns, I really had to look at, one, how do I continue to help people understand the value of their brand? And so I developed the online version because we couldn't meet in person. I developed the online version of the program during at the height of the pandemic and said there are three things that I felt people really needed to reinvent themselves and thrive. And that was the three D's. They need to discover the value of their brand. And so I just recommend anyone take a free self-assessment. I'm a Myers-Briggs practitioner who's certified. So there's a free version online. It's at Truity.com. There are others, DISC, StrengthFinders, there are a number. I wish I would have had that in college because that helped me discover my strengths, and it's so spot on with Myers-Briggs. That's the most popular one used. So if you haven't taken a self-assessment recently, when was the last one you had, Michael?
It's been a minute. I think back at the National Education Association, we went through that survey and through that battery of questions and self-analysis, and you're right. It opens a whole nother window.
Yeah, it's awesome. So I think people should take them as often as they will. One thing about Myers-Briggs, it says that your type is not necessarily going to change, but the more you read it, the better you understand how to communicate effectively with people around you and to really boost your self-confidence because you see your strengths and your opportunities for growth. Okay, so the second B is define. Once you understand the value that you bring to an organization, it really enhances your confidence. So then you write down, Michael, describe yourself, your brand in five words. For example, I'm a bold Emmy-winning storyteller. I'm also a discerning and resourceful connector. I love connecting good people to other good people, but I really watch that person, and I really have to feel like they're going to be an asset. They've got a good brand before I introduce them to someone else. I love doing that. And so you define who you are. So what's your brand, Michael?
Well, I think I'm along that same line. I'm with you. I enjoy being the conduit between people who are doing good things and between good projects and bringing all of that synergy to the table.
Yeah, it's exciting. You have to be passionate about it. And I know based on your your career, Michael, you're very passionate about doing that. So once you know and you have an assessment that lays out who you are, what you represent, your passions, your strengths, then you can define that and really help people understand what happens because of your brand. So what happens because of my brand as an Emmy-winning storyteller and a masterful connector, I enjoy helping professionals, college students, others tell their story. Mm-hmm. So then I have to define my audience. Who is your target audience that is going to benefit from you being that masterful connector and storyteller? Then the third D, so we've got discover, define, and the third is after you define who you are, then you have to practice delivering to your audience. And one thing that's so powerful that's underutilized today is LinkedIn. So that's an area where I really focus on, especially those who are looking to pivot. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are at this stage in their careers where we are. They still have something to offer, and they may want to serve on a paid board. Mm-hmm. Because people say, oh, I don't need to update my resume, Kathy. Why do I need to update my resume? Well, someone in one of my training sessions asked me that, and I said, well, would you like to be on a board? Well, less than 3 months after he was in my class, he called me and he said, you know what, I have an opportunity to lead a theatrical board. Mm-hmm. And the first thing they asked him for was his resume.
Yes.
So how do you continue to grow and promote yourself at every stage in your career? And that's the third D, deliver. So once you discover the power of your brand and your story, a lot of things go into that discovery, not just the personality assessment. We're looking at your education. What extracurricular activities were you involved in if you're a college student? If you're a professional, what organizations? Were you a leader in any of those organizations? What was the proof of performance? What will people say about you? How do you use those references? Because, right, you know, we're entrepreneurs. We're not. What do people say about us? What do we want people to say about us? All those things go into defining your brand. And then once you figure that out, how do you use those testimonials on LinkedIn? How do you package your brand story? So that's what I focus on today, and it's a lot of fun.
I think that's great. And, you know, you're absolutely right. Branding is everything nowadays. And it's a hard concept for the everyday person to understand that it's not so much what you are, but it's what people think you are. And we have an mm-hmm. opportunity to impact what people think we are. And through all of the various avenues and vehicles that you have mentioned, we can shape our public perception. And that allows us to be able to grow as individuals and to accomplish even more work. So I love the idea of discover, define, and practice. And, you know, as a former theater teacher, I do believe in practice. You know, there's nothing that goes on that's good that hasn't been tried. So you have to kind of refine yourself. But I think that that is wonderful. And so kudos to you for forming Yellow Brick Media and for helping people to discover their wow. Kathy, this is a hard time to be a journalist. I listen to the media, and journalists are being killed in Ukraine, in mm-hmm. the Russian insurrection. We have lived through in another administration people talking down to journalists, describing them mm-hmm. as fake news. We have even mm-hmm. seen the murder of a journalist over in Saudi Arabia with a bone saw. So this is a tough occupation, and not anybody can do it. And it requires training. It is a legitimate field. And I think that too many times people, and kind of like teaching, people think that I can just jump in here and do this. But it requires training. Mm-hmm. And I know that you had to go to college. We kind of share that teaching bond, and you're not in the classroom, but you're mentoring and coaching and teaching others. I love what you told me about your mom and why she said you went to college. Tell me a little bit about that.
My mom will be 85 in a couple of weeks, and she's a retired teacher. And she really is an inspiration. And I said I was going to talk to her more at length about this, but she says you go to college basically to learn how to learn. and to think for yourself and, you know, develop those critical thinking skills. And if you don't know something, where to find the information. And I think that's one reason why I became a journalist, because I wanted to help people understand the world and their environment, their community better, and help them solve problems. So my mother at 84 and 11 months and some weeks is just a gem. But I so admire teachers, and that's one reason I went to college, back to college to get my master's degree, so that I could teach on a college level. And I have taught WOW professional development to college students. So teaching is just one of the most rewarding experiences that I've had, that opportunity to follow in my mother's footsteps and share that wisdom.
Well, and you have to know where your place is sometimes going to college. And I'm a believer that not everybody has to go to college. There's some tremendous fields outside of academia where people are needed and valued, and we have to have them. But sometimes going to college helps you decide what direction you want to pursue in life. Like I had a roommate that, you know, we were both education majors, both planned to be teachers, and he went to student teaching. And after that, never spent a day in a classroom. He ended up being vice president of AT&T, and he discovered another calling, that he was much better at making business connections and on the industrial side as opposed to in the classroom. And I just thought that was so funny, but so useful. So your mom is right. You know, we go to college sometimes just to learn how to navigate life, as you say. And I just think that's great. Now, listen, it is tough enough being a journalist, but I also understand the importance and the rigor of being a Black journalist in this country. Kathy, there are so many newsrooms across our country that still cling to the old adage that Black people can't cover Black news. Tell me a little bit about why it's important that that reporters and Black journalists in particular be seen as masters of their trade and that they're able to obtain that degree of objectivity.
Oh, yeah. No matter, you know, it's been debated in journalism. Are you a Black or a journalist first? Well, no one knows that you're a journalist when you walk in the door necessarily of a restaurant. They can more often than not tell the color of your skin. And so with that said, I would just say that no matter where we go, we are seen as African-Americans, Black for the most part. And at the end of the day, when someone, you go and seek out a Black doctor or a Black dentist, research has shown that that person has greater empathy for you. There was a book that I read that talked about how many white doctors thought that Black people felt pain differently. I mean, I was like, wow.
That's incredible.
So if a fellow Black journalist can connect in a Black community differently and tell a compelling story because they have a different level of empathy or compassion based on that community. For example, I grew up in Miami's inner city. My mother lost our dad, her husband. I was just 5 years old. So my perspective in life is different based on my cultural, the surroundings where I grew up in a diverse area, very large Cuban population of immigrants. Everybody has something unique to bring in the newsroom, and that's why it's so important to have Black journalist perspective. The diversity is not what it should be with our representation. And that today, more than ever, especially as people look at the role of journalists. We see Kimberly Godwin, who's a Florida A&M University graduate, is the president of ABC News. Mm-hmm. I know Kimberly, mm-hmm. a phenomenal young lady, but she takes a different perspective to ABC News as someone who went to a historically Black college. There's a lot of pride, a lot of history that you learn at an HBCU compared to some other universities. So I think the diversity of thought is more important now than ever. In making sure that our voices are heard. And despite what's going on, there's still amazing opportunities for us. And we are climbing. Still not enough.
That's right.
Executive leadership positions. But if that's where you want to go and that's what you want to do, let nothing stop you. MSNBC's lead president, also African-American. So, Michael, I'm proud. I know there are a lot of distractions, but I want to tell people, if you aspire to be a journalist, go for it.
Absolutely. And I think you will agree with me that it's not just in journalism, that's in every field. You know, you look at the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, and the notion that she would have come from an HBCU. I never dreamed that I would see that in my lifetime. But as I look at her travel to Poland and to Europe, and she's navigating and bridging gaps between the United States and misunderstandings with the rest of the world, and exercising her foreign expertise, I know that she brings a different picture. She sees suffering in a different vein than everybody. So it's about enlarging that picture, and it's about bringing a more diverse perspective to the table. And not only that, but, you know, as we talk about the new Supreme Court nominee, it's not so much about having a black woman on the court, although that is important. It is about being able to bring a different perspective. And when you are talking about interpreting laws that impact black people who have been jailed for drugs, she might have a little something to say to that conversation. She might be able to bring a personal perspective that was not reviewed previously. And it's nobody's fault, but it's about enlarging the table and increasing the diversity of the voices that are represented there. So you are absolutely right in that respect. And I just love the fact that you are an advocate for people who have no voice. And I can hear that passion when you talk, and whether it is representing college students who have been you have been mentoring, or whether it has been as a student yourself, or leading the National Organization of Black Journalists. You are, in fact, you are teaching, you're coaching, you're mentoring, and you're reaching back to give to those that help shape your voice. And I love that. And I just think that our state was so proud for the time in your life that you were here. And you, as you say, you were based in Jackson, primarily at Fox, but we love the fact that somebody could rise to being president of the National Black Journalists with Mississippi ties. We love that, and we appreciate that. And so I love what you do. Before we run out of time today, what advice would you give to this generation that's behind us? Because I'm so careful that everything that we do has to lead, has to leave an example or a template for those who follow behind us. They face perilous times, but I think they're built for it and they can handle it. What advice do you give them?
Oh, yes. And I do want to touch on Mississippi. I lived in Mississippi, if you can believe it, Michael, 8 years, longer than I lived in any other city. And the people there were so good to me. I had a really good, positive experience. And I just can't say enough about enjoying my work there. But the advice that I would give to young people today is read. Know who you are. Understand your history and the value that you bring to this world, that you have a voice. So I love the internet. As a child, my mom would make sure we went to the library practically every weekend. We read a lot. We had encyclopedias in our home. Mm-hmm. Today, this encyclopedia, this library is at your fingertips. So anything you aspire to be, find a mentor. My mother did not know any journalists. She was concerned for me when I expressed an interest in being a journalist. So, Michael, I actually got a degree in computer information systems and journalist because my mother inspired me to keep going and get that degree that I really,
as mothers do,
after completing an internship.
Yeah.
She pushed hard. But once she saw that I was interested in being a journalist and I was serious about it, she helped me go to grad school at Northwestern to get my degree because I didn't have experience on the broadcast side, and Northwestern helped me with that. So find someone in your corner who is doing what you want to do and ask them if you can shadow them, if they would be your mentor. But you also have to be ready and prepared. And understand that this person is giving of themselves and their time. That's one of the things that really helped me. Mentors really pushed me to be editor of the school newspaper, pushed me just to open doors for me to get opportunities. One of them is Yvette Miley, hired me to be for my first full-time investigative reporting position in Birmingham, Alabama. Wonderful woman who looks like me. Mm-hmm. So those mentors are going to watch you. They're going to critique you, and some may be tough on you. They should be, because they want you to be successful. So research where you're trying to go, what you're trying to do, and don't let anything or anyone stop you if that's what you feel in your heart you really want to achieve.
You are absolutely right. I love watching Mika on Morning Joe sometimes. And you know, she's got that great program about knowing your value. And of course, you know, her programs are specific to women, but the advice is good for everybody. Know who you are, know what you want, and know how to get there and make a plan. So you're absolutely right on that. Listen, I can remember we were one of the homes when I was growing up in elementary school back in Magnolia, Mississippi. We were one of the few families that had encyclopedias at the time. So, of course, my mom not only made sure that we read and we were up to date, but there were other kids in our neighborhood that would come over and, you know, and share our encyclopedia and do book reports and things like that. And it was so valuable to be able to inspire others as well. And like your mom, I watched my mom do that. One of the things that I love to do here in Hattiesburg is that, you know, occasionally we have interns, and I have an intern over at the YMCA, where I serve as president. We have an intern at the Downtown Association. We have interns that help us to do our work, but it goes back to your critical advice. Young people have to be mentored. They have to be able to shadow folks and see. And you know, sometimes, like my roommate, who didn't step a foot in the classroom after 4 years of training to be a teacher, sometimes that mentoring tells you this is not the field for you. And that is important as well. You have to know what you're not. I think back to a particular mentor of mine, Geneva Patterson, and she was not a teacher. She was the school librarian, but she encouraged me to read. And she, in fact, became my first coach when I entered the Pike County 4-H public speaking contest at 9 years old. And she encouraged me and spoke with me as recently as last week to see that I was on the straight and narrow and that I was still achieving and still growing.
Oh,
because her vision was that, you know, cradle to grave, we continue to learn and to grow. And I just appreciate that so much. So, Kathy Times, I love the fact that you continue to search for truth in stories, that you are willing to mentor others who come into your vision. We are so proud of the fact that you would be a past president of the National Black Journalist with Mississippi Ties. You are an Emmy award-winning and master storyteller. And in the shadow of International Women's Day, you speak proudly for our state. You speak proudly for our people, and we are just so proud of you. And I just thank you for giving up your time and energy today to inspire the next generation and to help us celebrate what Black people can achieve. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And thank you, Michael, for all that you do. And I'm still in touch with people in Mississippi throughout the state, and really just enjoy having had that experience, because I lived in 12 cities. And 8 years in Mississippi was it was just incredible. And everywhere I went, people knew that I lived in Mississippi.
Yes.
Yeah.
And look, and you never know. And you talk about always reaching out and making those network contacts. We have a mutual friend, Rosie Butler, who's out in Houston, Texas, but originally from Hattiesburg, Mississippi, that I knew you and she knew you, but we didn't know that the other knew each other. And so that's been a wonderfully rewarding conversation this week to know that you guys had met on a whole different level back in 2008. So it's
awesome.
A small world.
Yeah.
Small world. So, Kathy, keep it up, and we're just so proud of you. So, Pine Belt, you have been listening to another edition of Stage, Style, and Study. I do want to shout a couple of dates out at you. Remember, HubFest is coming up March the 26th, so get downtown. The Hattiesburg Half Marathon, sponsored by the Pine Belt Foundation and the City of Hattiesburg and other partners on April the 2nd. And then the YMCA is hosting its annual Healthy Kids Day on April the 30th on both of our campuses, both in Hattiesburg and in Pebble. So celebrating 52 years of circuit broadcasting in association with Mississippi's first African-American-owned radio station, Stage, Style, and Study airs live on Fridays at noon on WJMG 92.1, and we're live streamed at cbsllc.live. You'll find us on Facebook at WJMG 92.1 FM, Southeast Mississippi. And so we are appreciative of our guest today, Kathy Times, past president of the National Black Journalists Association, and you've heard another edition of Stage, Style, and Study.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Stage, Style, and Study featuring Michael Marks right here on WJMG 92.1 FM.